Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Police say a shooter did not have specific targets when they shot up an elementary school yesterday in Nashville. Chief John Drake.
She was under care, doctor's care, for an emotional disorder. Law enforcement knew nothing about the treatment she was receiving, but her parents felt that she should not own weapons.
This as President Biden calls for an assault weapons ban.
I'm Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Republicans who control the House are unlikely to get behind a renewed ban on semi-automatic weapons. But President Biden says he will continue to call out those who oppose it.
It's called exposure.
Mr. Biden, who authored the ban that was in effect for a decade starting in 1994, tells reporters the Second Amendment is not absolute.
You can't own a machine gun. Well, the idea you can't block this up, give me a break.
Investigators say the Nashville shooter had legally purchased 7 guns. A judge has approved a $2.4 billion bankruptcy plan by the Boy Scouts of America. It's considered the largest sex abuse settlement in U.S. history and would resolve claims for more than 80,000 men. Former Vice President Mike Pence has been ordered to appear before a grand jury investigating January 6. Here's CBS's Robert Costa.
His lawyers have said the speech and debate clause as part of the Constitution should prevent him from testifying, but a federal judge has said, no, sir, you must testify in this investigation and provide testimony about your private exchanges with former President Trump. That all being said, the former vice president could still try to appeal this decision, perhaps all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas tackled immigration and border security issues today in Washington.
We are attacking the cartels and smugglers like never before. Last year, we launched an unprecedented campaign that has led to the arrest of more than 9,100 smugglers and the disruption of over 9,000 human smuggling operations.
His testimony follows the deaths of 40 migrants at a detention facility near the southern border. Adnan Syed, who was the subject of a popular podcast called Serial, has had his murder conviction reinstated despite getting exonerated last year. Here's WTOP's Mike Murillo.
This comes after a Maryland appeals court ruled that the brother of Heyman Lee, the woman Syed was accused of killing in 1999, wasn't given enough time to get from California to Baltimore for a hearing last year, during which Syed was freed. Now that hearing must happen again, and in the meantime, Syed's first-degree murder conviction and life in prison sentence have been reinstated. Syed, now 41, spent 23 years in prison for the murder of Lee, who was his ex-girlfriend.
It's unclear if he'll have to go back to prison. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. They're still trying to find out why a student died at the University of Wisconsin in Madison yesterday. The vice chancellor of student affairs says it does not appear to be suspicious and that there's no threat to anyone else. The university police department and the Dane County Medical Examiner are handling the investigation. The university is also providing support to students who need it. All flags in Wisconsin are at half-staff today to honor a World War II veteran whose remains were only recently identified. Private William Simon was killed in Germany in 1944. In 2019, a government historian suspected unidentified remains at an American cemetery in Germany could be Simon's. That led to a DNA match with his brother and sister. He's buried today in his hometown of Middleton with full military honors. In sports, the Badgers play North Texas in the NIT semifinals tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hey, Wisconsin, the spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2, V-O-T-E. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostovsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets law and order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostovsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostovsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Finfridley, croonersmn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. As you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. And Zoe, do you want to just give a quick preview of the show today? And of course, we're going to have really quick up next, Ogama with the news. But what else is happening tonight?
Yeah, so tonight's going to be exciting. One of my really good friends, Jennings Mergenthal, is going to be on. They are a historian, scientist, storyteller, so much to talk about, so much that they do. But they'll be joining us and talking specifically about the work that they do at the Science Museum of Minnesota as the community engagement specialist. So very exciting.
That is exciting. And we're going to get Ogama with the news here in just 1 second. I know it's over the years of teaching, I had a lot of students work down there, too. So doing video and all these groovy things down there. So I'm excited to talk to him and have you lead the way. But without any further ado, let's get with Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Buju relatives. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news and information for you here today. The first thing that I'd like to say is that our prayers are up for the 25 people who were killed during the tornadoes that ripped through the state of Mississippi and in Alabama over the weekend, or it was, I believe, last Friday. And President Biden has since declared a state of emergency to ensure that federal funds would be available to those communities. These are some of the poorest places in the nation. So prayers are up to those people. And, you know, it's just hard when we hear about these types of disasters, and they're becoming more and more common. So just wanted to take a minute to rise up for that. And I don't know if we could consider this a disaster, because I think in some ways it was needed. But in the riots that followed the murder of George Floyd, McGizzy Communications, their building was destroyed. And they've just recently put out that they have a grand opening planned for Thursday, October 5th of this year. So I know that's a ways out. But mark your calendars, people. Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at 1845 East Lake Street in Minneapolis will be the grand opening of the new McGizzy Communications at their new building, and that's just going to be so exciting. I know that after their original building was destroyed, they had a lot of support from the community just kind of come flooding in, and people sent in donations, and they were able to take that money and turn around and rebuild. And that'll be really, really exciting to see, Robert. I don't know about you, if you plan to go down to the opening event, but I think it'd be great to get some people and you know, celebrate that we're moving forward from those things.
Yeah, there was a ceremony at the old place that was burned down, and we walked up to the new building, of course, prior to the renovations that they're having there. But that happened like right after George Floyd, and they got a new building right up the street. Well, it was like about six blocks, so it was a long time, long walk for me.
Right, exactly. Another event that's coming up with the Fairview Community and Wellness Hub in St. Paul, April 13th and 14th from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. They're having a gathering where people can get space and time to receive healing practices from various local and global grandmothers and practitioners. So that's going to be at the Fairview Community Health and Wellness Hub on West 10th Street in St. Paul, Minnesota. The event is free and open to all who identify as health and wellness practitioners and service providers. It's called Heal the Healers Gathering. So that is definitely something new and kind of exciting to see. Definitely check out both of the events I just mentioned. Do have links to RSVP and get more information on eventbrite.com. So just wanted to mention that. The next thing I wanted to touch base on, the Red Lake Nation Tribal Embassy on Cedar Avenue, Friday, April 7th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're having tribal IDs, $15, and elders who are 55 and up are free. So members of the Red Lake Nation, if you need a new tribal ID, you're going to be in the Twin Cities. You're going to want to go down to the embassy 9 to 4 on April 7th. Number to call is 612-874-9588 if you need any more information. Just really excited to see that. And, you know, always an excuse to talk about my tribe, right, Robert? Mr. Ho-Chunk, you do the same, I think. We all want to take that time. The first American to cross the finish line of the 2023 LA Marathon was a Hopi Navajo citizen, Hosava Kretzman, and he was told that after he crossed, he was the first American and the sixth person to cross the finish line. He's 28 years old, and he finished the 26.2-mile marathon in a time of 2 hours, 19 minutes, and 55 seconds. And that was actually the first full marathon that Kretzman had ever run. And he was sixth among 22,000 runners who participated in the Los Angeles Marathon. So that is amazing and so exciting. I know I just kind of like peeped that a little bit last week that had happened, but it's just so great when we see our people doing great. And shout out to Native News Online for that awesome story. Next thing I wanted to talk about was that the Henrietta Mann, who is part of Native America Calling, has received a National Humanities Medal during a White House ceremony. Joe Biden had presented 11 medals, but Henrietta Mann, who's Cheyenne, got her National Humanities Medal on Tuesday afternoon, and she is a part of many different projects, but one of the ones she's most famous for is Native America Calling. There was also other Native American people who were awarded as well, including Sean Spruce, who's Laguna Pueblo, Jacqueline Saley, who's in Inupiaq, Denise Morris, who's Aleut, and Art Hughes of Native America Calling, and Koinak Broadcasting Corporation all helped produce the radio show, and they were all present there. And Sir Elton John was awarded his first medal as well, so that was exciting too. But just happy to see that come through. I mean, the ceremony had been postponed because of the pandemic. The award was actually for 2021, but the award and for the work that Native America Calling does is just so important. And Robert, I know we've had Native America Calling's one of their broadcasters joined us, Antonio Gonzalez, and she's taken over Native Roots Radio a few times, and we just can't thank them enough for that help and, you know, for bringing that over with their experience over to us as well. So really excited to see that group get some recognition. Last thing I want to touch about is the new movie, Killers of the Flower Moon, finally has a release date. It's an Apple original film, and it's with Martin Scorsese, and it's Killers of the Flower Moon, which is after a book written by David Gran by the same name called Killers of the Flower Moon, and it's set in Oklahoma in the 1920s, and the film depicts the serial murders of oil wealthy Osage Nation community members, which came to be known as the Reign of Terror. And the film is going to star Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Lily Gladstone, Jesse Plemons, and just a whole amazing lineup, including Tantu Cardinal and Tatanka Means. It's really been a lot of anticipation for this film, and the Osage community has been working really closely with the film director and the community there. And they actually, the Osage community made some changes to what was originally planned in this movie. So the release date is set for Friday, October 20th for global streaming on Apple TV Plus. So start sharing your passwords about early October, everybody, and watch for Killers of the Flower Moon. And shout out to Indian Country Today for their awesome coverage of that.
Sandy Whitehawk's husband's an extra in there, George.
Yes, so look, there's a George. Lot of extras and Osage people and community members who got to be.
Hey, Ogama Pinigigi, thanks for the news. As always, great breath of fresh air. We'll be right back. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz is running to provide you with the justice you deserve.
For years, Judge Janet has supported the youth and underrepresented communities.
Judge Janet has strong values for public education and believes in setting our communities up for success.
Judge Janet believes that Native rights are sovereign rights.
Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering.
Unlike her opponent, Judge Janet not only talks the talk, but walks the walk.
Judge Janet knows the impact that our courts have on our communities, and she will bring integrity and fairness to the court.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz will fight for us. Let's fight for them.
Make a plan to vote by April 4th.
Find your polling place at vote.wisdoms.org. That's vote.wisdoms.org.
vote.wisdoms.org/EV.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, well, Zoe, you have a guest on today. I'm really excited because it's about the Science Museum. And when I was a teacher at Harding High School, many of my students worked down there over the 30 years and learned a lot of skills. And some have kept on working there. So, Zoe, why don't you take over the interview here and I will sit back and listen. Welcome, Zoe.
Bonjour, relatives. This is Zoe Allen. I just want to welcome a good friend of mine, Jennings Mergenthal, tonight. They are coming from the Science Museum of Minnesota. And I'm just really excited to see you, Jennings. So if you want to give our listeners a little more of an introduction of who you are, just for context, Jennings and I went to McAllister College together. If I have it right, Jennings, you studied biology. You studied a lot of things. I feel like you majored in like six things. Maybe I have it totally wrong.
Whoa. Hi, I'm Jennings Mergenthal. I use they, them pronouns. I have known Zoe for, I think, what is now like 4.5 years, which is unsettling to think about. we met at Mac, where I studied bio and history, and now I am a community engagement specialist at the Science Museum of Minnesota.
Yay.
Woo-hoo.
Jennings, yeah, I want to know where your sideburns are right now.
They're still here. They're just blending into the headphones.
Looking good. Sorry, Zoe. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask a little more about the work you do. We have lots of things to talk about. You know, Jennings, you also do puppetry. I don't even know. Again, you do a lot of things, wear a lot of hats. But maybe you could just start off by talking about, you know, your position at the Science Museum, how you got into that, and if you guys have any programming coming up.
Sure thing. So I have been at the Science Museum for just about a year and a half now. I do community engagement work around the museum collections. Like many museums, the Science Museum feels bad about racism and bad about colonialism. And so they send me out to apologize to people for it. And I don't think it means quite the same thing coming from me, but I do my best. Part of my work is running community listening sessions and then making sort of programs and projects based on what we hear in those listening sessions in order to engage people around the museums and more specifically around the museum collections. Two of the main projects that I'm working on now are a culturally centered engineering kit for fourth and fifth graders that's getting distributed for free. Last year to a bunch of Hmong immersion schools, and this year to a bunch of Hmong immersion schools and Spanish immersion schools. We worked with a storyteller to tell a story, not necessarily a traditional story. This year's is one about the storyteller learning how to weave with her grandmother, and hired an illustrator, made little animated videos and aligned them with a little cardboard machine. So the students watch the videos, they take the kit, they make a little machine, they turn the crank, and like the weaving goes back and forth, or the corn goes up and down or whatever. And the other project I'm working on is a community curators initiative that we're starting this year. One of the things we heard from listening sessions with community members is that they want to be able to be empowered to tell their own stories and interpret their own objects that the museum is currently holding, as those have been traditionally very exclusive spaces. So every month since January through probably the end of June, we're going to have a different community curator who gets a stipend to come in, work with the museum collections, pick an object, and then display it and do some interpretation. And that's displayed in the museum lobby, so you don't even have to buy a ticket to see it.
Wonderful. I was just about to ask, too, is it still true that if you are an enrolled member of a federally recognized tribe that you can get into the Science Museum for free?
It is still true. Awesome. You don't even have to be an enrolled member or federally recognized. You can call the number on the website and use the Indigenous Access Program, and you can get free museum tickets and free Omnifilm tickets and free parking as well. You just have to call and set that up.
I know what I'm doing in a couple of weekends with my kids. I have almost 10-year-old, and she's been begging me to take her. And it's kind of a trip, and it can get kind of pricey to go. And I did not know that. So, miigwech to you, Jennings, for sharing that with me.
Yeah, Jennings, I did.
I'm going to pull up that website and get the number for everybody as well.
Jennings, I just pushed the applause button here when you said that. Go ahead, Zoe.
No, that's awesome. And that initiative, when did that come out? Was that before you started working there? Was that during?
That was another thing that came in response to some of the listening sessions that we did last year. One of the barriers that we heard from Indigenous community members was the museum is really expensive, and also it's sort of inconveniently located. It takes forever to get there, and it's harder to move the museum, and it's harder to make public transit better. But it's, as it turns out, surprisingly easy to make it free. So we did.
That's awesome. Oh, so many questions. I guess one of the ones I do want to ask just personally is, what's your experience been like as an Indigenous person, as a Two-Spirit Indigenous person working at the Science Museum? And, you know, we have about 4 minutes here, so feel free to say as much as you want.
Yeah, it's certainly been, in the most Minnesotan sense of the term, interesting. I overall enjoy my job and my coworkers and the work that I'm doing. And often when I am feeling disheartened about my work, colonialism in general, working for an institution that has historically perpetuated harm and in many ways continues to, there are moments where like someone will thank me for giving them tickets because their kid had so much fun, or one of the community curators will take their kids in to see the display that they made. I'm like, aw, that's so sweet. Maybe my job is worth something after all. But I do enjoy it. I think I've found coworkers and sort of a niche that is a lot more supportive than I ever thought I would be. I haven't often felt like I needed to change who I was or act differently or alter parts of my identity to exist authentically. And I've really, that hasn't been true of every job I've had or every place I've been. And I do really appreciate that. But also, you know, a lot of colonialism still, a lot of, in a white dominated organization working to not even dismantle, but even begin to call into question these things that are taken and accepted as such norms. But you know, I still work there, so how bad can it be?
I hope they pay you well.
Well, that's a good thing you are there representing, Jennings. I appreciate you. That's awesome.
It's a whole other level of work that you're doing when you have to be the person that's constantly bringing up those things and educating the people around you. And, you know, it's not something that Native people tend to get recognized for when they're hired. So Chemiquich to you for doing that work to decolonize such a space. I think museums are important. And I think that I go back and forth with, you know, How do we appreciate the importance of museums, but also acknowledge the continued colonial genocide that's perpetuated by their existence? And I think a really good first step, like so many other things, is to have Native people in those positions, just like the legislature, just like everywhere else. And if I do have just a moment, I'm going to let people know the Indigenous Access Program at the Science Museum of Minnesota has free tickets for the Science Museum, the OmniMax Theater, and parking. For information, you can call 651-221-9444, or you can email info@smmforsciencemuseumminnesota.org, and they will help you make a time and make sure that everything is all set up for you to come for free.
And parking is very important, too. Sorry, Jennings, go ahead.
Oh, no, I would suggest you email just because the phone lines can get a little bit tied up and you don't want to have to wait, but they're very good at getting back to you real fast if you email.
Hey, awesome. Thank you for that.
We got the inside scoop here. That's awesome. Go ahead, Zoe.
Wonderful. Yeah, so we have a ad break coming up pretty soon here, but I would love to hear about, I know we had talked about a little while ago, Jennings, a project you were working on regarding seed keeping or food sovereignty. I'm just curious if you have any updates about that or where that project's heading. Maybe we can talk about the next segment.
Yes, I'm more than happy to update you in the next segment about that. But it's coming along really well, and we're really pleased with the direction it's going.
that's a good one. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Zoe, great job with Jennings here, and Ogama with the news and great questions and promoting this. It's just a really good show so far. Pressure's on, though. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Police have released more info on the shooter who killed six people yesterday in CBS's Christian Benavides.
Police say the shooter's parents told them Hale was under a doctor's care for an emotional disorder, and they were unaware Hale had legally purchased seven guns, three of which were used in the shooting.
At the southern border, 40 migrants have died in a fire at a detention facility. CBS's Camila Montoyo Galvez.
Migrants were being held in an immigration detention facility run by the Mexican government right across El Paso, Texas. This is an area where thousands of migrants and asylum seekers are waiting to enter the U.S.
And former VP Mike Pence will have to appear before a grand jury investigating January 6. Here's CBS's Robert Costa.
He has been making an argument that it would be unconstitutional for him to participate as a witness in this grand jury proceeding due to his role as not only the former vice president, but the former president of the U.S. Senate.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Nair. Here's what you need to know. News 18 reporting Judge Janet Protasiewicz and former Justice Dan Kelly spoke at the Labor Temple in Eau Claire last night. The candidates making a final push before Election Day next Tuesday. Tune in to Civic Media stations for live election night coverage starting at 7 p.m. on April 4th. Frustrated property owners in central Wisconsin trying to get some clear answers from a wind turbine company. Last night, residents in Clark County confronted wind energy company RWE, trying to find out how their land and rights will be affected if they sign contracts to install wind turbines on their property. RWE refused to attend a meeting arranged by Farmland First, an activist group trying to inform people what's involved in the complicated contracts the wind energy companies are proposing. Instead, they held their own open house. Some concerns include potential health risks, noise issues, and a decrease in property values. I'm Jane Matt-Nair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Every family has one. The Smother.
Holy why!
Hi, Erica!
This is my daughter. I baked her in my tummy.
The Goldbergs every weeknight.
Weeknights at 5 and 5:30 on My24.
With a house full of women, it's every man for himself.
What is it about hanging bras in the bathroom like Christmas ornaments? If I don't hang my underwear in the bathroom, that would be terrifying.
Tim Allen is the last man standing.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on My24.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Kroot.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
or visit snapconstruction.com. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed insulation and exterior contractor in the metro area. Visit snapconstruction.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clearing skies tonight, getting down to 13 for a low, then Wednesday sunshine with a high of 30. There's no better time than now to experience the new Maggie's Lounge at Crooner's Supper Club. Serving up light fare and cocktails, no concert ticket is required. Crooner's Supper Club, just north of 694 off Highway 65 in Fridley. Croonersmn.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring health and tradition.
Wow, Zoe and Jennings, you probably don't know who Jane Fonda is, but Zoe, back to you.
I was going to say, of course I know who Jane Fonda is. I actually saw her at a Line 3 protest. She walked right past me. She is a very tiny woman. She is a very tiny woman. But anyway, back to Jennings.
Where Ogma got the recording.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
But that's a different show. Go ahead.
Different story. We're just here with a good friend, Jennings Mergenthal, just talking about their work at the Science Museum of Minnesota. And before we took a break, I just was asking them a little bit about a seed saving or food sovereignty project that they're working on at the museum. So, Jennings, do you want to give us just a little update really just a overview of what that project is?
Sure thing. So in the 30s, there was a dentist in Minnesota by the name of Dr. Wesley Hiller, and he wanted more than anything to be an anthropologist. But his father said, "No, son, you'll be a dentist like my father and his father before him." So in addition to being a dentist, he traveled all around the U.S. to Native communities and collected seeds. And when he passed away, in the 70s, his kids were going through his stuff and went, "We don't really want all of Dad's weird seeds that he got wherever." So they called the Science Museum of Minnesota and donated all of these seeds. I believe more than 200 different varieties. Some are a collection of like no more than three. Some are a big bag. And the museum held these for quite a long time. And in the early 2000s began an initiative to grow them out with a Native youth garden team and an ethnobotanist periodically over the course of many summers to see which seeds were still viable and to have sort of a living museum component of here are heirloom Native seeds that we can regrow. There have been a series of initiatives as well to connect the seeds back to the communities of origin. To send them the seeds to have them grow, and if they successfully sprout and give seeds, that they would have the option to give back to the museum the same number of seeds that they took initially. Any surplus seeds were theirs. This program sort of took a hit, as many things did during COVID, but now we are working on reviving that using the connections of community partners in the Anishinaabe Agriculture Institute. So coming this summer, we are going to be growing out some of these seeds in three sites across the U.S. And hoping that this takes root both literally and metaphorically as a program and allows these connections to return more seeds to the communities of origin and promote the great food sovereignty work that organizations like the Anishinaabe Agriculture Institute are doing.
Wow, Zoe, I got to jump in here. First of all, when you were talking about he wanted to be a dentist, I was having flashes of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. One of the elves wanted to be the dentist. But that's really important. And, the seeds, that's an amazing thing. So we'll have to hit you up for some seeds when you get a handful for my nation, because Ho-Chunk likes growing stuff, too.
No, absolutely. Just let me know.
Wonderful. Oh, that's so cool, Jennings. And I'm so glad that you could come on and talk about that, because I mean, when you first told me about it, I was like, who, what? I had no idea. There's just all these secrets that all of the museums and, you know, museums are full of secrets, but especially places like the Science Museum. Like when you think of Science Museum, you don't really think of, you know, huge seed catalog from indigenous nations across Turtle Island. So it's really incredible that this is happening. And so can you say where you're planting them in the U.S. or is that also, is that confidential?
Tell us.
It's not confidential. We'll see if I can remember. Madeline Island, a group there. Oh. One is somewhere in the Southwest that I have a post-it note on my desk that says, and I believe the other is in the Anishinaabe Agriculture Institute headquarters, sort of their primary base area. There's also an ongoing relationship with folks on the Fort Berthold Reservation to grow Three Sisters Mounds that has been ongoing for the past 2 years, a little more now.
Hey, remind our audience too, we have a lot of late white supporters out there, what the Three Sister Garden is.
That is corn, beans, and squash.
And why do they grow them together?
All growing together so that they can support each other and feed each other in a perfect sort of little example of mutual community support.
Wow, I see a t-shirt with those three rascals on, or three grandmothers.
I was going to say, Jennings, you're doing a great job at being cold called. <Just kidding. laughs> I feel like we're in class again. No, just kidding, Robert. But no, really good points.
Well, I'm a former teacher here. got to keep them laughing to keep their attention, right?
Very true.
I'm just going to pop in and borrow some airtime again for everybody who is listening on the radio. There is an Indigenous Access Program at the Science Museum of Minnesota, which includes free tickets for the Science Museum, for the OmniMax Theater, and parking. You can call 651-221-9444, or, and the better option is most likely, to email info@smm.org for Science Museum Minnesota, and inquire about the Indigenous Access Program, and they will get you set up with a time and make sure that you're able to get in and visit those things for free. Just want to take another minute to plug that, because that is so exciting.
That is, Ogama, and you don't need a tribal ID, correct, Jennings?
That is correct.
So you can all say you're related to Ogama if they ask you.
There you go.
My tribe is the one that had the change in the blood quantum recently. So yeah, that'd probably be the one to go to.
Right. Go ahead, Zoe. Sorry.
Oh, no, this is great. I was going to ask if maybe we could change gears a little bit, Jennings, and talk a little bit about your puppetry work. Unless there's anything else you want to promote with the Science Museum, we definitely would love to have you on again to get some more updates on that. But yeah, I was just wondering if you talk about some of your artistry. You do lots of different kinds of art, but in particular, I saw you have something coming up regarding puppetry.
Do you have the puppet with you? I was hoping to see the puppet.
I do. My puppets are all in the other room. Maybe I'll grab one during the ad break. But yeah, so I'm working on a puppet show about Korean cooking and colonialism. I am also Korean. My dad is a Korean adoptee, and so the show centers around an adoptee Korean chef who is a puppet and is reconnecting with his cultural identity and what it means to be adopted and what it means to be experience colonialism in these various ways. Throughout his journey on the setup of his cooking show, he encounters a variety of fun ingredients, a talking head of cabbage, a can of Spam who fought in World War II, a bottle of soy sauce that is really into apologizing for war crimes, and a variety of traditional Korean theater masks and characters that compliment him, engage him, educate him as he sort of goes on this journey of of self-discovery and through cooking, which is, you know, a great way to connect and really brings people together.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know the background on the puppet. You know, you have so many different characters. Just for our listeners, this is a quick story. One of the most infamous characters is Lester. So Jennings created a Twitter account. Well, Lester created a Twitter account for McAllister and was pretty ruthless in, you know, just telling the truth about what was going on with our school. There was lots of things that we went through in our 4 years, one of which was the renaming, or I guess unnaming, of the Edward Neil Hall, now the Humanities Building. So maybe that's something we can talk about next segment too, Jennings, because that is quite a story. But I guess really quick for our listeners, how does one get into puppetry? And is there an organization or a group that you're working with to put this on?
Wait, Jennings, can you do it in the puppet's voice when you
I sure can. So Lester sounds something like this. And apologized to anyone listening loudly with the volume turned up. Zoe, I can't believe you've outed me as the source of Lester here live on the radio. But no, I've done puppet stuff since middle school. I've done throughout my secondary education. I did one puppet related project every year. Sometimes usually part of a school project. Sometimes the prompt was do a puppet show. Sometimes it was do something creative. And I said, I'm going to do a puppet show. And I was able to continue that through college as well. But I've been developing this puppet show through Puppet Lab, which is now at Open Eye Theater in Minneapolis, and has a really great program for sort of supporting emerging artists as they start to develop a solo show or a show with other people around an original idea, and really gives support and throughout the process. And I'm excited for it to be over so I can have free time again, but I'm also excited to do it.
I can't wait to see the puppet. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Jennings, you're rocking. We'll be right back.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Why must the world be so cold? They've gone against what was told. Thinking rape is cool? Think about it. They think it's not wrong. Violence against women, the rape, the abuse, the emotional, physical. They all hold the hate. Think about it. Is it right or wrong? What attracts you? I'm not saying no names, but you laugh. Talk about it like nothing is wrong. Think about it. They all hold the hate. Gotta stop the violence. Stop the hate. Think about it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. This is Robert Pilot. Wow, really interesting. Zoe, go ahead.
Oh, I just have to do a really important promotion for Howling for Wolves.
Get ready, Jenny.
One of our really incredible supporters. Howling for Wolves protects wolves for future generations.
He's got they got the puppet. That's cool. Go ahead, Zoe.
Oh, thanks for joining in on that howl, Jennings. That was kind of a standard on our show. And I see you brought a little friend, and I'm so sorry to our listeners who aren't witnessing this, but Jennings has a little puppet. What animal is that? I know it's some kind of crazy animal.
This is an axolotl.
I knew that one. My daughter loves too. Axolotls.
I did too. Just kidding.
I guess I was going to ask a little more about the renaming of Neil Hall that you and I were both a part of. I believe it was, what year was that? Was that 2019, 2018? And if we could find a way to incorporate the puppet, of course, really important in telling the story. And I guess this just, I know this is pretty McAllister specific, but it really does, it's a trend among schools right now to start really engaging with a long history of settler colonialism. And, you know, we've seen things like the U of M starting to try and return some land to Fond du Lac and other schools returning items that they had stolen from Indigenous communities. So I think that this story really fits into the broader scheme of repatriation. Jennings, do you want to talk a little bit about what it took to get that building renamed and why it had to be?
Absolutely. So in 2014, McAllister named one of the buildings, formerly the Humanities Building, after the founder, Edward Neal. And Edward Neal was one of the early settlers in Minnesota. He was noted in his time for being particularly racist, especially against Indigenous people, and also opposing coeducation. He felt that McAllister should be a men's only college forever. And in 2014, the college decided to name a building after him. But in fairness, Google had not been invented in 2014, so there was no way for them to possibly know about the things that he said, because it's not like they were easily accessible and known to people at the college at the time. So the name was restored. The controversy sort of died out as many of the people who were aware of it graduated or left. And we began, as part of the continuing and ongoing Native student organization effort, to draw attention to Edward Neal's life and what he did and the things he believed and how he perhaps shouldn't be honored in this particular way. The Mac Weekly, the college paper, did a sort of an expose around the naming of the building and other buildings as well on campus as part of a push to re-examine who the college commemorates and why. This was just after the Bede Makaska name restoration, so naming and renaming was very much on people's minds. And it did not get a lot of internal traction until it started to be covered by press outlets like the Pioneer Press and the Star Tribune. And then very quickly, the college reversed course and said, yes, we will take Edward Neal's name away from the building. We will return this building to the Humanities Building. And we will not start a broader conversation about which donors and influential figures from our history are commemorated. We will treat this as a single discrete instance and slap the Band-Aid on that gaping hole. We did it. We changed the name. We solved the problem. And the building is still called the Humanities Building. Discussions are ongoing around what it should be renamed to and why. I think it's really interesting as our own little piece of the naming and renaming controversy, because some people felt this was a good idea. Some people, particularly those in the StarTribune comment section, felt that this was the worst thing that has ever happened in the world ever. And yes, yeah, so debate rages. It's impossible to tell if it was good or bad.
Do you know you two Mac students at the Ramsey Junior High was renamed down the street from your old school?
Yes. And I think it's
hidden.
That was also a student driven effort. And I think it's really, really important to draw attention to when these aren't just things that, you know, the malcontents that go to McAllister College care about. These are things that middle schoolers are aware of, care about, and can enact change about.
Oh, gosh, that was such a time, wasn't it? I'm still remembering. Well, Jennings and I were actually featured in the Star Tribune, and I'll have to find the picture at some point. It's a good picture. Maybe next time we have you on, Jennings, we can put it up. But I just remember the photographer coming up to us and we were like, I don't know what you want us to do. Like, a building was renamed.
Stoic.
Yeah. He was like, I really want you to think about everything it took for you to get to this moment and just kind of capture that in your face. And that was Jennings' translation. I was like, okay, thanks, Jennings. That I can understand what you just said. I have no idea what this guy is talking about. It was a really important thing, and also just created a lot of, I think, more visibility for Indigenous students on campus. I guess, were there any other kind of effects or outcomes of that you witnessed, Jennings, in the last couple of years you were there after?
Well, it seems to have left a big impression because people from McAllister keep asking me to talk about it. So it's a little, some people said that, their decision, watching the coverage of the renaming is what inspired them to go to McAllister. So Zoe, we are to blame for that. And we should be overcome with guilt until the end of our lives.
I am so sorry to all the Indigenous students. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think there's a growing Indigenous community at McAllister. And actually, there's a really long history of really, really incredible people, Indigenous people coming out of McAllister, people like Gabby Strong, who heads an organization, and just other, I mean, I don't even know. There's some really incredible alums. Oh, Ajuak Kapiche.
Chris Griffith, who runs Z Puppets.
Regular celebrities.
Bob Dylan's son. He went.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did in the 80s, and then he became a big rock star in his own right, too. This has been a really interesting show. I always thought of Berkeley or as McAllister, and I'm talking, I'm 60, Jennings, so give me a break, okay? McAllister was the Berkeley of the Midwest because we had people from all over the country with very liberal leanings that went to that school. Has that changed at all, or is it pretty even? Because it was very, very liberal back in the 70s and 80s.
I think that's continued, and I think the biggest difference is now the in addition to a draw from internationally, there's also a draw from all levels of the socioeconomic ladder, weighted more heavily towards one direction, and you'll never guess which one.
Yep, we need nice new football stadiums, even though we don't do super well when it comes to that sport. But yeah,
well, again, when I was a youngin', McAllister had the record for most losses in a row. It was something like 84 losses in a row. It went through 10 years or so. But sounds like you guys are getting
proud of it.
Yeah, they definitely were proud of it. Zoe, let's end this, and maybe Ogma give a quick. Quick shout out on how to get those free tickets too.
Yeah, absolutely. To participate in the Indigenous Access Program at the Science Museum of Minnesota, go over to their website or email info@smm.org, and you can get free tickets for the Science Museum, OmniMax, and Turkey.
Pini Gigi, Zoe, and Jennings for being on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now. Wajile, wajile.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on